It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, Wisconsin voter turnout in last week's presidential election was the lowest it's been statewide in two decades. We'll focus in on what happened in Milwaukee and then on what happened statewide with two guests coming up.
First, on 60 Minutes last night, President-elect Donald Trump talked about his immigration plans. In the interview, he said he plans to immediately deport 2 to 3 million undocumented immigrants. He said he would emphasize deporting criminals before deciding about law-abiding families who are in the country illegally.
What we are going to do is get the people that are criminal and have criminal records, gang members, drug dealers. We have a lot of these people, probably 2 million, it could even be 3 million. We're getting them out of our country or we're going to incarcerate. But we're getting them out of our country. They're here illegally. After the border is secured and after everything gets normalized, we're going to make a determination on the people that you're talking about who are terrific people. They're terrific people. But we're going to make a determination at that. But before we make that determination, Leslie, it's very important. We want to secure our border.
During an interview with Jake Tapper on CNN's State of the Union that also aired yesterday, House Speaker Paul Ryan agreed that border security was a top priority for Congress, but he said there would not be mass deportations.
Congress writes the laws and controls the purse strings. Is there going to be mass deportation or not? And this isn't just a nitty-gritty detail. There are, you know, millions of people who are very worried about this.
Sure. Sure. And I think we should put people's minds at ease. That is not what our focus is. That is not what we're focused on. We're focused on securing the border. We think that's first and foremost, before we get into any other immigration issue, we got to know who's coming and going in the country. We've got to secure the border. So we believe an enforcement bill, a border security enforcement bill, is really the first priority, and that's what we're focused on.
Okay, so it's not a top priority, mass deportation, but obviously President-elect Trump thinks it
no,
is.
No, securing the border is our
right.
Securing the border is our top priority.
Right, but what about in year two, year three, year four?
That's why I say we're not focused on. We are not planning on erecting a deportation force. Donald Trump's not planning on that.
Alan Gomez joins us now to talk about how immigration policy might play out in Donald Trump's presidency. He's an immigration reporter at USA Today. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, can you compare and contrast some of what we heard from Donald Trump on the campaign trail, where it seemed like he was talking about deporting all undocumented immigrants, numbers in the 10 million or so zone, I think, now down to this 2 or 3 million immigrants, undocumented immigrants, who he says have criminal records?
Yeah, if we think back to the very beginning of his campaign, and it seems so long ago when he came down that escalator and started this whole thing off, in that very first speech, he talked about the need to deport people who were here illegally. It's about 11 million undocumented immigrants living in the country right now. In the ensuing weeks, reporters had asked him, how many does that mean? And he said all of them. He kept repeating that it was all 11 million, that we need to go in that direction. He kept up that tone throughout the campaign. Throughout his rallies, throughout his speeches, he kept railing against illegal immigration, saying they have to go. But over the last few months, he started kind of throwing in this little caveat that, you know, once we secure the border, once we get the bad guys out, as he said recently during one of the last speeches when he referred to them as bad hombres, after getting all of them out, then maybe we could talk about what to do with those that are left behind. And so this him on Sunday saying for the first time that he's targeting about 2 to 3 million, yeah, that's a very sharp departure from get all of them out as he started this whole thing out. And I think it kind of gets to a little bit more of a realistic expectation of what a president could accomplish, even with, you know, as much as they want to throw at this problem.
Now let's talk about that number, the idea of 2 or 3 million. He's talking about people who are criminals with criminal records, gang members, drug dealers. That's from that clip we played there. I don't know if we have solid numbers. Does that seem like a plausible number that would fit that category?
I think when we talk about 2 to 3 million, we're talking about undocumented immigrants that have any kind of criminal record. Every study I've ever seen, and I've been covering immigration for a long time, puts the number of people with gang ties, with criminal serious criminal felonies on their records. That's I've seen those numbers down to about a million. I mean, that's probably more what we're talking about. So to get to a number like 2 to 3 million, I mean, we're bringing in DUIs, we're bringing in minor felonies, we're bringing in misdemeanors, and so basically anybody who's had any kind of exposure to the criminal justice system in this country. And so, yeah, that 2 to 3 number, that's definitely the high range of this population that has any kind of criminal record.
Can we talk about deportation under President Obama? As I understand it, there have been, 2 or 2.5 million deportations under President Obama. His executive orders wanted to focus on people with criminal backgrounds. Is Donald Trump saying things that sound similar to what President Obama had already been doing?
Yeah, definitely the scope is much different, but the strategy sounds to sort of kind of be starting to fall in line a little bit with what President Obama has done. So understand, over President Obama's tenure, he upset many immigrant advocacy groups. He insulted a lot of Hispanic groups. At one point, the leader of the National Council of La Raza called him the deporter-in-chief because of how many people he was deporting from this country. There was a period in the middle of his administration where he was averaging about 400,000 deportations a year, and in each of those cases, he was setting a national record. But at the same time, the number of what they've been doing is increasing the percentage of undocumented immigrants who were deported who had a criminal record, and that was their focus, going after those kind of folks. As he said it, I think at one point, going after gang bangers, not grandmas. And so we saw that increase. We saw them going after more criminal aliens, and overall, the number of deportations started to fall because they were focused on that population. There's just not that many of them once you really target them. So yeah, he's absolutely been trying to push this idea of trying to go after these criminal immigrants. And yeah, it sounds like a President Trump would follow that and very obviously ramp that up as much as he can.
Talking to Alan Gomez from USA Today about immigration policy in a Trump administration, what might or might not change. Let's talk about this idea of a deportation force. This is what Donald Trump had mentioned on the campaign trail. He seems to be dialing back on that. Some Paul Ryan said specifically there, we're not planning on erecting a deportation force. So what about how we enforce these laws, Alan?
Well, that's been, I think what we're seeing with President-elect Trump is what happens to most presidents when they're done with a campaign and are about to step into the White House, where, sort of the bluster of the campaign has to meet the reality of governing. And as he gets in there, we already have a pretty large deportation force. There are more than 5,000 Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents that are right now working around the country. There are over 20,000 Border Patrol agents, mostly along the southwest border. And so all a President Trump would have to do is sort of refocus and retask all of those folks to really go after every undocumented immigrant they can find. For example, a lot of ICE agents right now, they're tasked with reviewing files at businesses, at job sites, to make sure that they're hiring legal workers, punishing employers who are hiring undocumented immigrants, doing different things within the world of immigration. But what a President Trump could immediately do without any congressional assistance is absolutely focus everybody to go after undocumented immigrants and to ramp up the number of deportations. In order to increase the number of ICE agents, they would need congressional approval, they'd need more funding, but very quickly he can sort of turn that mechanism around and make everybody really go after and try to ramp up deportations as quickly as possible.
Let's talk about the wall, Alan. Donald Trump on the campaign trail, very specific, we're going to build a big wall, he's talking about, and now this weekend he said a fence would work in some places. And now, as I understand it, we have a combination of walls, fences, electronic surveillance, things like that. When it comes to infrastructure at the border, what do we have now? What does it sound like we might be moving toward with Donald Trump?
Yeah, I think anybody who spent any amount of time along the border understands that the idea of a 50-foot wall along the entire 2,000 miles of border was never going to happen, partly because of the terrain. There's giant mountains, there's huge valleys, there's rivers, there's farms, partly because a lot of the land on the U.S. side is privately owned, so that would take a long time to sort of resolve, and partly because there are just parts where it just doesn't make any sense. There's whole stretches of desert in Arizona and New Mexico where there's not a lot of immigration because it's just would probably be impossible to kind of make it across during that point. So what he's looking at now, what he's talking about now, is, again, more of that sort of realistic view of what's possible down there. Right now we have a total of about 650 miles of any kind of barriers. So that's a combination of walls, fences, road barriers, different things like that. I mean, some of it is just incredibly easy to, you know, I've walked along parts of it where I'm like, okay, I can just hop over this little fence here. It's not that big of a deal. But those are built in areas where maybe there's a lot of vehicle traffic, so they were trying to reduce that. But yeah, once you start going mile by mile and start assessing what's necessary, what's not, in population centers, it makes sense to have a wall or a double wall with people patrolling in between in some of these vast stretches of the border where there's not that much of a population, where it's not that easy for people to cross and quickly assimilate into the U.S. population. Maybe you don't need that much stuff. So it sounds like, you know, he's kind of hearing from a lot of folks along the border and getting a little bit more of a realistic understanding of what's necessary and what's possible down there.
We're talking to reporter Alan Gomez from USA Today about how immigration policy might change under President-elect Donald Trump.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. How would you like to see immigration policy change in the United States? What do you think about this idea of perhaps mass deportations? Do you think we should change the pathway to citizenship in the United States? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation and get to your calls in just a minute here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're continuing our conversation about immigration now with Alan Gomez, immigration reporter for USA Today.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about President-elect Donald Trump's immigration plans? What do you want to see change? What are you worried about changing under a Trump presidency? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. Tina on the line in Lake Geneva. Tina, hi.
Hi, how are you? I'm a substitute teacher. I'm an educator here in the area where we have probably in our middle school and grade school 75% Hispanic in the outlying city that I teach in. And I recently did a three-week assignment for sheltered English. And the students there were terrified of what is going to happen to their families. And I think right now, just as a human being, my heart breaks for them. I just want to know what policymakers, when you're actually looking into the faces of these children, what is the answer? And I don't understand, you know, I've just heard this rhetoric from people, well, their parents are criminals because they're here illegally, and as long as their parents are here legally, they have nothing to fear. They're children.
Alan, Tina, thanks a lot for that call. Alan, what are we hearing from immigrants themselves, from immigrant advocacy organizations as we head toward Donald Trump's inauguration?
Absolute terror. I mean, and it's across the board. I mean, he can talk all he wants about, hey, we're just going to target people with extensive criminal records. But, you know, as we said at the top of the show, in order to get to 2 to 3 million people, you're not talking just about murderers and folks that rise to that level. You're roping in a lot of people who have just very minor transgressions that aren't violent, and so that's a huge pool of people that are impacted. And then, you know, you add the idea that one of the things that President Trump has vowed to do is to eliminate a program called the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, or it's called known as DACA, which President Obama created and has so far protected more than 800,000 young undocumented immigrants from deportation. You know, one of their fears in originally signing up for this program is that they were basically going to be turning in all of their personal information, all their addresses, all of that kind of stuff over to the federal government. And, hey, what happens if a different administration comes in and has access to all those records? And now they're seeing that happen. I would think that there would be the lowest priority of people to be deported because they're young, they're generally working and going to school, and they have been to some degree vetted by the federal government already. But I can tell you so many of them are paranoid right now because they think, hey, they have our address on record. We might be the first ones to go. So now it's just really swept across the entire community, and people are just freaking out all over this country right now.
Tina, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Alan, I think what a lot of people are trying to figure out, and you can't read minds, I know, but which is the real Donald Trump on immigration? Is it what he said on the campaign trail? Is it what he's saying now in the run-up to becoming president? Are people guessing one way or the other?
And that, I think guessing is the appropriate word there, because it's, you know, and I think this extends beyond immigration. There's just so many things, you know, any campaign that we have, right? There's always that idea of what they're saying on the stump and what they're saying during debates. You know, Republicans go further right, Democrats go further left during their primaries, and they kind of come back a little bit. And then once they get into office, it's always, you know, let's see what of all of that will you implement. With Trump, it's just that times a thousand because of the hyperbole that he uses, because of the way that he's talked about so many things in such absolute and talked about things in terms that we've never really had to grapple with. Like, for example, with the refugee program, he's talked about eliminating it entirely. And to be quite honest, as an immigration reporter, this is the first time I had to research that. And I realized that, yes, a president has the exclusive power to absolutely shut down the refugee program and restrict any refugees from entering the United States. He doesn't need congressional approval. He can do that on his own. So that's just one example of all these, sort of him taking things to such an extreme that we've never seen before, which is why it's so hard to gauge what he's going to do now once he gets into office.
We're talking to Alan Gomez from the USA Today, looking at immigration policy as we approach a Donald Trump presidency. Back to our callers now with Pat on the line in Madison. Pat, hi.
Hi, thank you. My question was this. During the campaign, Trump said that he's going to stop all funding to sanctuary cities. And that my question is this, is what kind of funding are we talking here? All federal funding? And if he does that, does that have to go through like a budgetary process, through congressional hearings, as far as saying, our budget now is this, and we're not going to give any money to this city because they're harboring illegals? And does he have the authority now to just go into those cities and grab illegals that are being protected by these sanctuary cities and say, here, sorry, you're protecting them, but they're now going bye-bye?
Pat, thanks for the call. Alan, let's start with what a sanctuary city is. As I understand it, that just means police departments don't automatically report undocumented people for every police interaction to immigration authorities. Is that right?
Exactly. And just to extend it just a little bit, any government worker in that city would be almost forbidden from turning over an undocumented immigrant that they encounter over their day-to-day work over to federal immigration officials. So, yeah, the next step is, you know, Trump has vowed to cut off funding for these cities. This is one area where, we're all working in a little bit of gray right here, so bear with me. But that's the kind of thing that I think he would have to work a lot with Congress on, because basically what you're saying is, you know, the highway money that goes to states, federal education dollars that go to states, health care money that goes to cities and counties and local governments. I mean, there's just so many different channels of money that go into these into these local governments. And so that would require, from what we understand, to go into all of those different sort of appropriation bills in Congress, you know, tweak them to adjust it so that they will withhold it for certain governments, local governments that withhold this money. There is talk of possibly passing a sort of sweeping bill that through Congress that says if you declare yourself a sanctuary city or kind of implement those kind of policies, that we're just going to cut you off completely. I think a lot of people question whether that's possible because, again, of all these different revenue streams that you'd have to get into. But looking at the makeup of this Republican Congress right now, it looks like he could get a lot of help from them, and it looks like something like that could get passed. So it's absolutely a very real possibility.
Pat, thanks for that call. We'll go next to Isaac on the line in Ontario. Isaac, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
Oh, I think the wall is a very good idea. You know, I've heard a lot, studied a little bit on the border about how, they'll deport somebody that's here illegally that commits a crime or something, and then they'll just come right on back, So that, I think, is a very good idea. It needs to start with that. And if they're here illegally, you know, they're breaking the law, they probably should go back, you know. And as far as the process to do it, I don't think that somebody that's here, you know, that's not, like, you know, a dangerous person, they shouldn't be deported. You know, they have families and stuff. I don't agree with that. But I do think that, you know, somebody that does commit crime should, you know, be deported. And, you know, they shouldn't be here on worker like me's tax dollars. You know what I mean? They, you know, get Medicaid or, you know, and they all need health care. I agree with that. But, you know, if they're here illegally, you know, we're paying for these people that came here without doing the proper process. And also, why don't we make the process faster? I mean, I know...
Isaac, I want to jump in because we just have a couple minutes. You brought up a lot of interesting points. Alan, first of all, the idea of there's a tax burden undocumented immigrants on the rest of us.
Oh, man, we could do a whole show on that question, but to give you the quick response, there was an interesting study that came out recently, and this was from the National Academy of Sciences, and they spent years researching this. There has been untold numbers of economic reports from groups on both sides of the debate that they took all those reports, they took all this data, and they crunched it, and their conclusion, I think, is something that sounded about right, where basically that first wave, when they're undocumented immigrants and they first get here, you know, in their first few years, they're using the hospitals, their kids are using schools, and so they end up being a net negative economically. But once their kids start growing up, and once they reach that second generation and third generation, then they become a massive economic benefit, because not only because of the work that they're doing, but then the kids are going to school, they're going to university, and you know, it's a long story, but I think the idea of what immigrant labor does in this country and has historically done is the fact that so many other countries, their economies are contracting because they don't have enough immigration, while that has helped continue the United States' economic well-being.
We'll leave it there. A lot more, I'm sure, we'll get into in the months to come. Alan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
We've been talking to Alan Gomez, immigration reporter at USA Today. He joined us to talk about how immigration policy could change under President-elect Donald Trump.
Coming up after the news, we'll talk to Milwaukee's chief election official about low voter turnout in last week's presidential election. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferrett. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.